You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Alex Dunn, Andy Holding and Andy Gibson in the studio. We've got jumping from Kelso, all with the racing on the Fibre Sand and racing over in Ireland as well over the obstacles at Fairy House. So three meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Are you well?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. Very good indeed.
Good.
Just going to have a quick look back at some of Saturday's action before we get stuck into Sunday.
Yep.
A few races that had quite a bearing on the markets for the Cheltenham Festival as well. So we'll have a little bit of a look at how the markets have changed on the back of Saturday's action. And we'll start with the race over in Ireland. Race won by Get a Bird, the Moscow Flyer novice hurdle there. That's had a big bearing on the Supreme Novices hurdle market for the Cheltenham Festival. Get a Bird now the favourite for the race at 7-2. Clement Taken Forgan is 7-1. 8-1 Sharjah. 10-1 if the cap fits. Mengli Khan has drifted out to 12-1 as a result of his performance. He's 12s with Sam Crow. He's then 16-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. Quite a few horses have won the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle and then gone on to win at the Cheltenham Festival. The likes of Vator and Duvan most recently for Willie Mullins, who of course trains Get a Bird, same connections as well, Rich Ritchie owning the horse. So you'd say it'd be all systems go for the Supreme now, wouldn't you?
You'd think so. You look at his past three winners of the race, Willie Mullins, Vator, Duvan and Min, all headed for the Supreme Novices. Two of them won it, and of course Min was placed in it. So you would have thought that all roads will lead to the Supreme Novice with Get a Bird. He's beaten a useful flat performer in the shape of Mengli Khan over 2 miles. So I would have thought connections will feel there's very little reason to step up in trip at this point with the horse.
Hmm. What do you make of Mengli Khan now?
I was unconvinced by him before today, to be honest, Mark, for the simple reason I wasn't sure he'd beaten much. He was beaten a couple of times as a juvenile hurdler, and connections put him away feeling that he was maybe a little bit big and backward and weak and not ready for it, and he returned an improved performer. But I think now that some of the real top notches are starting to come out, they're likely to overtake the horse.
Get a Bird, the winner of the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle, even money, beat Mengli Khan at 7-4, and Carter McKay was back in third place at 7-1. Didn't just win the race either, Get a Bird, won by 9 lengths, so he's fairly bolted up in the end in that big race over in Ireland. We also had good racing on the domestic front. Big race at Kempton this afternoon was the Lanzarote Hurdle, won by William Henry at 7-1. Spirit of the Game second at 16-1. Red Indian 8-1 in third, and top of the game back in fourth at 11-1. Good day for Nicky Henderson, another big winner for James Bowen. And William Henry continues his good form as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very good piece of training, you'd have to say. William Henry's a horse, Mark, who'd run in a novice's chase at Cheltenham and looked to show no aptitude for it, no interest in that novice's chase. He became detached very, very quickly. That was in November. He's not run since, but connections quickly aborted the initial plan to go chasing back to hurdles, and he's posted a career best performance, William Henry. It looked a competitive and an up-to-scratch renewal of the Lanzarote Hurdle. And William Henry will surely have bigger sights in his bigger targets, rather, in his sights as we approach the spring. I don't know where connections will head with him. He's won a decent price, so the pressure's off to a certain extent. Mm. As you say, another big winner for James Bowen, who continues to impress.
We do have a couple of quotes for the Betfair Hurdle on the back of that. William Henry now 12-1 for that, and Spirit of the Game's 14-1. And in terms of Cheltenham, 14-1 for William Henry for the Coral Cup, which you could see him turning up.
You could see him turning up in the Coral Cup. I'd be more interested in him for a Coral Cup than a Betfair Hurdle, because the Betfair Hurdle is 2 miles. The Lanzarote Hurdle at 2 miles and 5 furlongs.
Yep.
He looks very comfortable at the intermediate trip.
Hmm. Also want to mention Waiting Patiently on the card at Kempton. Good performance from Malcolm Jefferson's runner. Brian Hughes on board, goes on to score at 13-8, beating Atmaresque at 16-1 in God's Own back in third at 5-2, won by 8 lengths in the end as well. Being a northern man. Mm. Your dad's a Northern trainer.
Yep.
Good to see the likes of Malcolm Jefferson having such a good horse to go to war with, Waiting Patient.
Yeah, it's really good to see. Waiting Patient is a horse who's steadily improved, and he's a well-named horse, isn't he? Because Malcolm Jefferson has campaigned him very, very patiently, resisted the urge to head to some of the big springtime festivals with him last year on account of the ground not being right. And it looks like they're going to reap the rewards with Waiting Patiently. He beat a good field. He's a very, very good horse. And it was a big day for the Jefferson team to win that race and the Pretemps qualifier at Warwick. Really good for Malcolm Jefferson. I'm sure plenty of people in the north will be thrilled for their team.
He's 7-1 now for the Ryanair Chase, Waiting Patiently. Also got a quote of 10-1 for the Queen Mother Champion Chase, mm-hmm. which I suppose if the race cuts up and we don't see Min and Altior turn up, you could see why they'd have a tilt at that, but if he was mine, I'd be going Ryanair personally.
Yeah, I think he's a player in the Ryanair, providing that there was a little bit of juice in the ground, and I wouldn't be surprised if in time he were a Gold Cup horse. Mm. I don't think they'll rush to step him up in trip as of yet, but there has been mention of the big race at Ascot, the Grade 1 Ascot Chase in February. Well, that's a 3-mile race, so that'll tell us more. That looks at a good target to aim at. The ground tends to be on the soft side for that race and that meeting, and we'll learn even more about Waiting Patiently. But he's a very, very exciting young horse. He's as good a horse as there's been in the north of England for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, very good horse. If he goes there, to Ascot, he could end up meeting Cue Card, couldn't he? I think that's his next target.
He could indeed, and you've got a horse who's very much on the up,
yep.
and a horse who's slightly on the wane, so it'd be interesting to see where they meet.
Mm. Also want to mention some of the action at Warwick as well. We are recording this prior to the Classic Chase, which could of course have a bearing on the Grand National Market, so we will break that down a little bit on Monday's edition of the podcast, which will be released on Sunday, of course. But we have seen the Leamington at Novices Hurdle there, where Mr. Whipped was another winner on the day for Nicky Henderson. Nico de Boinville on board. Mr. Whipped winning at 6-4, beat Paisley Park at 9-2, with Night in Dubai back in third place at 16-1. I believe he's got a quote of 20-1 now for the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. Waiting Patiently, not waiting, wrong horse, Mr. Whipped. And that has had an effect on the race in the past. If you look at Willoughby Court, won the race last year, went on to win at the Cheltenham Festival. The new one, I think, did that as well. No Refuge, another one that springs to mind, that won this race and then went on to win at the festival.
Yeah, so. And you go back far enough, the Great English Driver won this race and, of course, went and won 3 world hurdles. So it's a really good schooling ground for young horses, the Leamington Novices Hurdle. Mr. Whipped looks at a good horse. He still has improvements to beat the likes of Sam Crow, who are on the blind side, Get a Bird, you feel. But given how lightly raced he is, it's not impossible that could happen, Mark. And certainly, he's not too short in the betting. 20-1 is a juicy price if you were keen on Mr. Whipped.
Yeah, I'd be relatively tempted by that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad... I don't fancy the horse to win the race, but I think he's priced up appropriately. And if you were taken by his performance, 20s is a decent price.
I've only seen the race once, so we'll have to watch it back again. Mm. But first impression as well was I think he just idled a little bit.
Well, you'll be there with your doing your speed ratings and taking your notes down, won't you, Mark?
Can't wait to get that stop clock.
That's it.
See what's what.
You and Pimmers.
Yeah. anything else stand out to you on the Saturday before I move on to Sunday's action?
I think we've covered plenty. Radician is likely to head for the Triumph Hurdle after winning the Juvenile Hurdle at Kempton, the opening race. His jumping was still a little bit sticky. I'm sure Alan King would like to see that become a little bit more slick, but there's no doubting this horse has a big engine and is worthy of a crack at something better next time out.
I think we did alter the price on Radician as well. I'll just see if we can find that. Non-runner for the Fred Winter. 10-1 for the Triumph. That was the change.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't rush for that myself, but I can see plenty of punters being interested in it. I do wonder, he's a good flat horse, Radician. I wonder if he will be best suited by a flat speed track, such as Aintree, more so than Cheltenham. Time will tell.
Maybe so, yeah. What do you make of Schefter's Erbo, by the way? Just purely because he's won by 19 lengths there. He's absolutely routed his rivals, and he's been given a quote of 14s for the Albert Barlett. Could you see him turning up in a race like that?
The Albert Barlett is always one of the more open novice races, isn't it? And it goes to a horse that really has the guts for it and the mettle. Well, you don't know that until the horses are pitched into that race. Schefter's Erbo is improving, Mark. He looked to improve for the step up in trip today, and I'm sure there are bigger days ahead of him.
So that's pretty much Nice little look back at some of Saturday's action, but the action continues. We roll on to Sunday. We've got more jumping on the horizon at Kelso. We've got all-weather racing on the fibre sand at Southwell as well on the domestic front, and a good card over in Fairy House. Good race over there as well in the shape of the Dan Moore Memorial Handicap Chase, a Grade A event there where you've got the usual big handicappers in the lineup. Probably see the likes of Acapella Bourgeois towards the head of the market or whatever in that race. But we're going to focus on Kelso. Sean's picked up two races for us. Kelso is the high five meeting here at William Hill as well on Sunday. So if you find the winner at Kelso in a race with six or more runners and it goes on to score by five or more lengths, not only will you be paid out, you'll get 15% on top of that as a free bet as well, courtesy of High Five here at William Hill. So a chance to get a bit extra on your winnings. Sean is going to give us the winner. The 140 is a handicap hurdle, class two event over. Just over 2 miles. Got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. Which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, there are two that interest me. Monfass is going to get the vote here, Mark. He's a horse who was a winner last time out at Carlisle by 2.5 lengths from Craig Starr, off a mark of 107. He's up to 116, but I was quite taken by that performance last time out, and he hasn't been handicapping for that long, so it's not impossible to think that there's further improvement to come from Monfass. And a horse that I'm keeping an eye on is Mersali. The ground should be quite testing it at Kelso, and whether that'll really suit this horse, I'm not sure, but he's starting to slip in the weights. He's a course and distance winner, and he's definitely up to winning races off this mark of 135. The last time he was running off this mark was at Kelso in September of last year, and he was a winner, so we know he can operate. Callum Bewley rode him that time. He's on him again here, and I think he'll be at a decent price in the morning, Mersali. So I'd have to have the main bet as Monfast, but I'd be sick if I didn't have a saver on Mersali, and he came and won.
Okay, so a couple to consider from Sean there. It's actually, I know it's a class two event, so you'd expect it to be quite competitive, but it's quite warm, isn't it? You've got Chitabalco, who won last time out. You've got Charmont here chasing the hat-trick, as well as the ones you've mentioned. So
you've got no hot pot, so to speak, have you? It's got an open look to it.
Good race. That's the 140 at Kelso. And the next race we look at is the 215 at Kelso. Follows immediately on that card. It's a class two handicap chase. The extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs, the trip in front of them for this one. And we've got Ramonex and Caroline both arriving here in winning form. Either of those two on the shortlist for this race?
Yeah, very much Ramonex. He's a horse I quite like. He's taken well to fences. He's only had the 3 starts over fences. And did it nicely at Catterick. He steps up in trip by nearly 3 furlongs this afternoon, but I think that could well suit Richard Hobson's charge. He's running off a mark of 128. I think he's up to defying this sort of mark, and I do think he'll be tough to beat here. So he gets the selection. Others to consider, well, taking risks. He's a horse who knows his way around Kelso. He's a course and distance win. His last win came in a novice's handicap at this track off a mark of 130, so exactly the same mark that he runs off this afternoon. His claims are pretty apparent. Katachenko was just beaten by a nose by Play the Ace at Aintree last time out. A reproduction of that would see him bang in the mix for trainer Donald McCain and jockey Brian Hughes. So them two will give Ramonex plenty to think about. You mentioned Caroline, a horse who likes it here at Kelso, having won here in the past. Caroline beat special catch in good fashion at Wetherby last time out. The handicapper hasn't been too severe, putting this horse up £7, and there could be a little bit more to come, but I do think Ramonex is a horse who's still ahead of his mark.
Taking risk, by the way, 100% record at the track, 2 from 2 at the track, and Nicky Richards won this race last year with Bernardelli, so that might attract a bit of attention.
There's a lot in his favour.
Yeah, but for you, Ramonex?
Ramonex is just a horse that I was taken with at Catterick, and I thought he won with a little bit up his sleeve.
Okay, Danny Cook's still riding well as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he rode the horse last time, as he did the time before. Danny's riding plenty of winners. He's a really, really good, solid jockey, a go-to jockey, and I'd never, ever fear about backing a horse that he was riding.
Hasn't had all that many rides over the last 2 weeks, but he's riding at 57% strike rate.
So. And he's been suspended for 2 of them days.
Yes, so, yeah. Good stuff. Ramonex, the pick then for Sean in that 215 to go along with a couple in the 140, Monfass and Mersal, the two that Sean had on his agenda, really, on his shortlist. Of those, if you were to have a strongest bet, would it be?
Well, I suppose the fact I've picked Ramonex outright, he'd get the nap vote. Next best, Monfass. But as I say, you are just going to have a little bit on Mersali, because even if he doesn't pop up in this race, I think he's one to keep on side because he's becoming fairly handicapped. When the ground dries up in the spring, we might see him in an even better light. And I'm sure Keith Dalglish has something in the back of his mind for the horse.
Mm, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy the action on Sunday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Sunday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Alex Dunn, Andy Holding and Andy Gibson, the team in the studio. Kelso, Southwell and Fairy House, the three meetings. And you'll hear full commentaries and results for that, as well as expert tipping along the way. So do join the guys on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.